Your name. I've forgotten your name. I've seen you, but I don't know your name.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
We have business to discuss.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, what up, H-Town? We've got 1 hour in the books. We've got two more to go. Plenty more show as we are here on Radio Row. It's Barry Laminack. It's Joel Blank. It's Quick Nick Sharara. And we are going Facebook Live right now on the web stream as well as on ABC 13 throughout the day as we bring in our next special guest. Crazy that we have guests during this week, isn't it?
That's crazy.
Suddenly, just like that, people just pop up like Pop-Tarts in the morning when you're hot and they're toasty. Hey, Cal Mitchell's with us, Barry, and right down. You guys are like you guys share all kinds of background and fun stuff, and I mean,
I think he's a little more established than I am.
I mean, I thought he said he only was going to do this show because he was trying to follow in your footsteps.
He's actually done it outside of the state of Texas, so probably.
Oh, there you go. And by that, you don't mean that pool that's up on top of the Marriott either, right? That state. Just checking about.
Kel Mitchell joins us. Kel, what's up, man?
What's up, man? I'm happy to be here, man. Super Bowl week.
Now, I got to ask you, first things first, we talked a little bit at the break. Last night was lit. Dude. This was your first day in town.
All
you're here for
lit.
Nickelodeon Sports, right?
That's right. I'm here with Nickelodeon, and we had a fun idea. I was like, you know, hey, let's do it as Ed.
Yeah?
From Good Burger. yeah, man. And, I mean, it was mayhem.
It went off well. Like, I saw videos of you in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
They're chanting your name. Yeah. When I say good, you say burger.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome, man. You had fun doing it?
I had a great time. The players really got into it, man. They all wanted good burgers. They signed my good burger. Julio Jones signed the burger.
You know? Yeah. Some of the players looked starstruck.
They're like, what?
Yeah, man. It was fun because, I guess they grew up watching the show around that time, man.
Yeah.
So it was definitely awesome. We got people singing the Good Burger theme song.
And we were talking about how that whole event has evolved. It used to be just for radio and TV. It used to be just like, I need you to answer these three questions because I'm writing a story or whatever. But now it's evolved into like this whole entertainment extravaganza. It's on live TV. You see people that are out there in character, in costume, doing things, and the players respond. That's got to be awesome for a sports fan like you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. I mean, I saw a lot of people out there with different outfits on and guys with big hats and one dude running around with a wedding dress, and it was pretty crazy.
The unknown Manning brother running around in a suit made out of money.
Yeah.
The money suit and tie.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You saw the dude with the Tom Brady mask?
Yeah.
Did you see
that? Yeah, that was
crazy.
Taking a selfie of Tom Brady behind him.
Oh, that was weird. He took a picture of me, but he couldn't talk, so he was just like, I'm like, what is happening right
at the
now.
Time, you don't realize that's a mask.
Yeah. You don't. It's like the movie Face Off.
I was going to say, it's very Silence of the Lambs.
Exactly right.
It was.
Yeah. Now, how long was Keenan and Kel on the air? How long was that show on?
Oh, man. It was, first it started with All That.
Yep.
And then we went from the sketch show to the Keenan and Kel show. So it was on for a while. I think we did about 4 or 5 seasons of Keenan and Kel.
Did you guys think that it would ever get as big as it got, as popular as it was?
I know with All That, I mean, it was just, we did it as a special first. And when we did it as a special, the fans went crazy, and then it turned into a series. I mean, for it to still last this long, you know what I mean? For people to just enjoy it. Like, you mentioned Good Burger, and it just people smile. It brings joy to people's hearts and stuff like
that.
Hell,
you mentioned orange soda. Same thing.
Dude, orange soda, I mean, I can't go anywhere, like, as far as, like, a fast food restaurant. Like, burgers, I get free burgers.
Do you?
Me like a king, yeah. It's like crazy. In orange soda. Oh, we love it. Me and my wife, we love it.
Yeah.
We ham it up.
I wouldn't mind getting free food all the time.
Come on, man. Free burgers?
Hell yeah.
Tell everybody, besides doing a little comedy on the side, but your hookup with Nickelodeon.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, how that all came about and the fact that, again, kind of a neat gig, you know, just work with Nickelodeon, but hey, cover the Super Bowl. Not a bad assignment.
Not a bad assignment, man. You know, I'm from Chicago, Illinois. And
sorry to hear that.
Hey, hold on. Hey.
I'm from a suburb of Chicago called Milwaukee.
I know Milwaukee. Yeah, man, and it was a nationwide search. I was doing theater out there.
Okay.
And they were doing a nationwide search for funny kids, and I was doing theater at the time. And auditioned for the show, got the part, man, and just went to out to Nickelodeon, man. And it's been fun ever since, man, to still be at the network. I've done other things in between,
sure.
But yeah. I just love it, man. I like doing family type of shows and fun shows. That it's fun seeing kids run up to you and enjoy your work.
Getting I was going to say, yeah. you do keep it yeah. kind of PG, but at the same time, but you're focused. And tell people, too, that's not just something that is part of your career, but it's when you're not in front of a microphone
oh, yeah.
either, how
yeah.
that translates into the community and making a difference, which is huge.
I love making a difference in the community and just being a role model and helping others. You know, for me, theater saved my life. You know what I mean? So growing up on the South Side.
Yeah.
So as many opportunities that I can create for other kids, I'm all about it. And you know, speaking and doing motivational speaking
sure.
and stuff like that. So I'm all about it. So it's fun. And then with my new show, Game Shakers, it's a whole new generation of kids that are watching me now. Like, they don't even know what Good Burger and like Kenan and Kel is. They think I'm Double G from that show. Like,
right.
They think I'm a hip-hop rapper, you know what I mean, because I play a
sure.
character similar to Kanye West on that show.
Yeah.
And so like, kids are just like, Double G, even my own nephew, he's Double G.
That's the beauty of that is you're not pigeonholing yourself into one character. Some
of course.
People think when you do too much character acting that you're labeled a
yeah.
certain way,
mm-hmm.
but people know you from different characters and it just keeps it going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It feels good, man. I just don't have that one, so it's like, you know, a lot of them.
Now, a lot of people don't know that you do stand-up, or they
yeah.
may not know that
uh-huh.
you do stand-up. Talk a
yeah.
little bit about that. Talk about your career.
Yeah.
What made you do it, or
okay.
was it always something you had done?
I love doing stand-up, man. I, speaking of my fans, I wanted to reach out to my fans, and I wanted to, like, shake their hand and thank them. And so we were doing, like, club appearances and stuff like that. And then I was like, you know, let's do some stand-up. Because I'm always hosting events.
Mm-hmm.
And, in, you know, with MC, you know, you have to do jokes in between
yep.
while the guy's band is setting up or whatever. And so I had a strong five. And they were just like, hey, that's a good five. You should work on that. So I went from a five to a 15 and then 30 minutes.
Yep.
And then now I got my hour. You know what I mean? And I really did it. Like, I really went to all the clubs. Went to different clubs in the city, all the way through L.A., just to let cats know, like, I wasn't just an actor, just, oh, I just want to do my special or whatever. Like,
right.
I really wanted to, you know, grind and make the joke
funny.
That's
pretty cool, though. I mean, because you guys share,
yeah, so you did all the open mics and the
dude,
late
did,
nights
I
and grinding.
I did open
yeah.
mics, workout places, really making it work. You know, and in the beginning, because I come from the sketch world, I did everything really fast.
Yep.
And if the joke didn't work, I just still sped through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just because you know you got to have ones in your bag. If
yep.
something doesn't work, okay, let me go this way. But in the beginning, it was like, I just got that set. So if it doesn't work, I just got to
yeah.
fight through it. You know what I mean?
And it's
like,
hard to embrace that silence sometimes, right?
Oh, bro.
Especially
yeah.
coming from sketch and acting. It's,
yeah.
You have to embrace sometimes that silence of letting that joke marinate or letting, you know.
Exactly.
That's a tough thing to do when you're learning how to become a comic, right?
Yeah, it's a comfortable. Like how we're talking now, that's how you got to make it on stage and
yeah.
at first coming from the sketch world, I was like, ta-ta, it's
yeah.
me. And they were like, well, what is he doing? You know, and when I made it more comfortable and more relatable, it worked.
At least you always have like
yeah.
you Ed to fall back on if no jokes are working. I had nothing. Like, no one gives a damn. If I'm like not funny, then I got nothing left.
Dude,
so
I'm
screwed.
In the beginning, I didn't even mention Nickelodeon.
Really?
Because I didn't want them to look at me like that. Like, you know how to stand up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd
like,
totally used
what
it.
What is he going to do? He's going to just go up there and do Nickelodeon stuff. But now I do, because I started doing the jokes and they were funny, and then fans were like, where's Repair
they
Man?
Want that.
Where's Ed? So now I put it in the show. So
I'm waiting
good.
For you guys
yeah.
to start working on a collaboration. when we're off the air now, I need to start. I mean, we'll be executive producers. I'm sure David Gow will back it, and you guys just need to get to work.
Okay, well, now I got to ask the tough questions now,
okay.
all right?
Okay.
So you auditioned for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
2003?
I don't remember what year that was, but yeah.
At the same time that
yeah.
Kenan did, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he got on, and you didn't,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you think about going Tonya Harding on him?
You know,
taking him out?
You know what's so funny about that experience is, like, I guess people see it. They see it like it was a fight night. They see
like
it
a rivalry.
Like Kenan and Kel in a room by themselves, and SNL execs and casting directors are there, and it's like, you go against him. It wasn't like that.
Like a joke off?
It was tons of comedians
yeah.
that night, and I'm in a good class with a lot of other cats, like Jim Carrey didn't
yep.
be on there. You know,
yep.
It's a lot of people over there that are still very talented.
Well, and you'll always have the fact that you were more popular from the Kenan and Kel. So you've got that going for you, which is nice,
man,
right?
And I'm happy for Kenan. I'm happy I'm happy for Keenan.
I'm going to get that dirt out of you.
I'm good. I'm trained.
I'm slick.
So go by. You guys have that professional relationship, but when you guys aren't doing that stuff, you guys don't talk anymore because of the Saturday Night Live thing?
Nah, bro. We're family. Me and Keenan are family. Every time I'm in New York, I see him. My wife hang out with him and his wife, and I support him. Like, I really enjoy it. I watch him on SNL. I think it's funny, man.
And you guys had the reunion on Fallon?
We did.
Because you know, the TMZ thing happened in 2012.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I don't know if that got blown out of proportion or taken out of context.
It did. They tried to put, like, how you just did. Like, they tried to pull it. Like, people think that I'm just, like, upset about it. I'm like, no. Like, it's all good. And then that's why the Jimmy Fallon really worked, because it showed everybody there's no good burger beef.
Right.
I see what you did. Got it right there.
Yeah, man.
That's good though, man. So was it fun to be able to kind of do that again? And afterwards, like when y'all were having beers, about maybe doing some more?
We talked and it was emotional. Like, the family was there, fans were emotional. It was just awesome. Jimmy kept cracking up, laughing.
But that's the beauty of Fallon too, right? Because he understands it. His experiences, his background is in it, and so he can kind of relate as he goes along and sees what really could happen here if he puts this whole thing together. That's fantastic. That's why I enjoy watching it.
Exactly. Yeah. Man, we had a blast doing that, man.
So what else is scheduled for the rest of the week now before the big game? And are you here through the big game?
Man, we're doing I'm not here to the big game. We're just doing a whole bunch of fun stuff for Nickelodeon. You know, we have a lot of stuff laid out for the kids that we're doing. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm doing a lot of great interviews. So I'm definitely excited about that.
Beautiful. Yeah. And you're going to probably stop in and see Barry do Open for George Wallace tonight.
Don't waste your time.
Come on, man. We all start somewhere.
It's not worth it. I know you're going to kill it, though, man. You're going to kill it. Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. Kel Mitchell's been our guest.
No doubt.
Make sure you catch him on Nickelodeon. Make sure you look for him throughout the week here at Super Bowl week. We appreciate him spending time right here on Radio
Shout out to my Chicago Bears.
and by the way, I believe the song goes, go, Paco. Just check it out. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Appreciate you stopping in. Kel Williams with our guest. Kel Mitchell, sorry, has been our guest. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a lot more. We also want to, again, give a special shout-out and thanks to Sprint, who makes it all possible for here, right here on Radio Row on ESPN 97.5.
Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome back to Radio Row. We are ESPN 97.5. It's Barry Laminack. It's Joel Blank. It's Nick Sciarra somewhere around here when he's not making appearances and trying to get phone numbers. As we continue on Radio Row, Nick has made this you see what I did there?
Yeah.
I did it to myself.
Wait, did
a
you hear
successful,
that
not a sexual week here at Radio Row. But the week is young, Nick. There's still time. And we welcome in someone that has a little experience here in the red, white, and blue in the boys on Kirby. The man that was 74 on the jersey, number one in your heart.
Yes, sir.
Wade Smith, joining us right now. Man, what brings you to town?
Oh, man, I live here. I'm here each and every day doing my best to get back to the community.
And you got some big bashes coming up this week.
I do. Bullsandblackjack.com. You can go to get the information about it. But we're doing a celebrity casino night and poker tournament.
Okay.
And so we have a bunch of celebrities coming in and playing. The last celebrity standing is going to win $25,000 to the foundation of their choice.
Nice.
I was smart and brought in Maria Ho, who is a professional poker player, to play on the behalf of the Wade Smith Foundation.
Well done. Yeah.
And we have Wade Smith Foundation with Mercy Foundation, with this, of course, is Whitney Mercer's Foundation and the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation that partnered together to do this event, and it's going to raise a bunch of money for all of our various programs to give back to kids here in the Houston area.
That's awesome. Like, I was going to say, I thought you were out of town coming back in, because I know one person in particular that was deeply disappointed, your ex-teammate Travis Johnson, that you were not here yesterday, which is what our schedule said, and he basically knocked down some scaffolding in the back.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's Trap showing me some love, though, Travis is actually hosting our cigar lounge at the event.
Shocker.
So that's probably
Travis
wanted to
and
be a,
cigars.
Of course, that's his thing, and so I bring him in to host the cigar lounge.
Is the event open to the public?
there are tickets available. You can go online and purchase tickets. And, of course, the
website
is bullsandblackjack.com.
Okay.
You go there and get the tickets. And, of course, since it's a charity event, those tickets are tax deductible. And your money will go to a worthy charity. Like I said, the partner charities for the event is the Waysmith Foundation, the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, With Mercy Foundation.
Now, I'm looking at some of the names. Owen Daniels, Roger Clemens, Arian Foster.
Yeah.
Quentin Demps.
And we have
you brought
Adrian,
in your ringer.
You got Adrian Grenier, who was
Entourage.
Entourage.
Merciless.
So he's actually playing too because he plays poker.
Is that right?
So yeah, so he's playing in the tournament too.
I've seen that a lot of people, Paul Pierce, a lot of athletes that really get into the whole poker scene.
Yeah, it's a good combination. You have have the professional football players and athletes in general, and then you have the A-list entertainment world people, and you put them all in one room and have them compete against each other, and you get fireworks. And so there's actually going to be prizes for putting the celebrities out of the tournament. So you can sit down at the table with Arian Foster or Adrian Grenier, and you can put them out, and you win a prize for beating them. And then the grand prize winner of the tournament actually is going to win a seat at the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas this year. So
nice.
it's going to be an awesome event.
For those that are
event.
Intense now, about it, that's impressive.
Yeah. Now, you didn't invite our own Fred Fowler, who is a poker player extraordinaire.
Or is he?
You need to get him.
We're not
going to
say that Fred has a problem, but he is a professional gambler in more ways than one.
Yeah.
Right, Fred?
Okay.
Fred, we're trying to get you into this big poker tournament.
Wade
is here to tell you that someone didn't get you the memo.
Night, we got
to
get you the information so you can buy in for this tournament.
We'll do it off air because it's weird when you can't hear Fred. But we got to get that taken care of. Now, your foundation, is it both in Dallas, because that's where you're from, Dallas, right, and here in Houston?
Yeah, most of the time I'm here in Houston, so I spend more of my time doing it here in Houston.
Right.
But at least once a year I do a major charity weekend up there in Dallas in my old neighborhood. But, yeah, we've given out over $150,000 in scholarships for kids here in Houston and Dallas for outgoing seniors so they can go to college and continue on their education. And then we do our program called Reading with the Pros, where we go to various elementary schools throughout the city. And I talk to the kids about the importance of reading and how cool it is. And if you struggle with reading, it's fine to be that way. It's not okay to stay that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to be that way, but it's not okay to stay that way. Ask for help. There's somebody that can help you, either your parents, your teacher, counselor, friends, family. Somebody can help you, because if you're not reading at grade level by the third grade, you are severely handicapping yourself to where you can actually achieve what you want to achieve in life. You can look at the jail occupancy rates based off of people reading at grade level by the third grade.
Really?
Yeah.
And we talked about it too, and it's been a theme throughout the day today, which is fantastic, which is the element of giving back. I mean, you guys as entertainers and athletes have been presented with so many opportunities, but the fact that you are focused on not just, hey, I've been there, done that, but to make sure that you continually give back and try and set it up for the next generation, I think is just absolutely fantastic.
Definitely. There was a lot of people that helped me get to where I was able to achieve in life. I lived out my dream. Now, what I like to do is help other people live out their dream and create opportunities for others. And so there's so many kids that don't have books at their houses, you know,
at
their apartments. And so, like, tomorrow, the school we're going to, Kennedy Elementary, they were in a reading contest. The kids read over 50,000 books during the contest period. And so we're going to be able, with a partnership with Book Between Kids, we're going to be able to provide each kid at the school with 6 books to take home with them so that they have their own home library.
Now,
so really excited about that.
Back in 2012, here in Houston, you made the Pro Bowl.
I did.
Now, a lot of people, athletes, fans, kind of look past the Pro Bowl. What did it mean to you? Was it one of those things, too, where you're like, I mean, I guess I'll play? Or did you look at it differently?
When I got to the Pro Bowl, that was my 10th year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had bounced around in different places. I finally got to here in Houston. I settled in to a role that I really did well in. And so I was excited about it. I was excited that I could take my family over to Hawaii, you know, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, everybody over to Hawaii and for them to experience that. So I was really excited about that.
But admit it, if it was Orlando, you'd have blown it off.
Yeah.
I would have went, but I would have been severely disappointed.
See, yeah.
I would have been disappointed.
I was thinking about that from a player's perspective. I mean, I understand the NFL is looking at finances and all the different elements, but man, that's a paid vacation and an honor all in the same deal. That's fantastic. To take that away, I'm sure a lot of players were a little bit upset about that.
Yeah, but you know what? What I noticed this year, I didn't notice, and maybe they didn't publicize it as much, but I didn't notice that a bunch of people just, like, didn't show up to the Pro Bowl this year as far as compared to years past. And I remember around that time when I went and a few years after that, nobody wanted to go.
Yeah.
And people didn't want to take that trip. But You know, the younger the league gets, guys, they try to create it to where it's a better opportunity and guys want to go. But in general, you know, the Pro Bowl is not set up for, you know, great
football. It's not vicious competition,
yeah,
right?
It's
basically like an award and you're playing it through, but just
right.
for a successful season, getting that accolade. But I have to ask you, I mean, I know you still keep tabs on the boys on Kirby.
Of course.
And what you saw was a team that was trying to adjust to Brock.
Right.
And Brock's on the books for another year. What do you see, you know, with the number one ranked defense, what do you see and what do you expect to see in the Texans coming up?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do at the quarterback position because you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because what you got out of Brock this year, you can't go into the season saying he's going to be the guy. You
right.
just can't. With what
at least open up the competition.
You got to open up the competition. Tom Savage, I love the kid, man, but he can't stay healthy, and so it's yeah. very difficult for you to count on him as well. So they're going to have to figure out who they're going to bring in here, whether it's going to be a draft pick or whether it's going to be a free agent, and there's not that many free agents out there that would be palatable anyway.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to have to do some kind of combination of it. But with that defense, you got J.J. coming back. You know, hopefully the second year into the system, Brock will be a little better, but I just don't think you can count on that.
Now, let's talk about quarterbacks for a minute because you – At your last year here,
uh-huh.
the 2-14
it
year,
was,
also
was.
Known as the pick six year.
Yes, it was.
Talk about what it was like going through that. I mean, how frustrating was it for you to continue to see? I mean, it got to the point where I was making jokes where you guys on the offense were having to do tackling drills because it got so bad. What was that like going
it
through that?
It was bad, and it was shocking because going into that season, we had Super Bowl aspirations. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, 2 years before 2011, we went to the second round of the playoffs, won our division. Yep. We were 12-4 the next year. And so going into that third year, we thought that we were going to take that final step and make it to the Super Bowl. We started off the year 2-0, had some close games against teams that we really didn't think was that good, and then we didn't win any more games. And it was really frustrating to see Matt struggle so much because he had done so well for us all the way up until that point, and it was just kind of – it was weird. That year was the definition of Murphy's Law. Whatever was going to go wrong went wrong that year. People got – like for example, this is a perfect example of that season. So we played the Kansas City Chiefs. I think we were like 2-4 at the time. They were 6-0. We're going up there. Kubiak comes in the meeting before the game, the night before the game. He says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to line up. We're going to run the ball at them. We're going to play good defense. We're going to shut the crowd up, and we're going to win this ball game. And we were ready to do that. And then the night before, our backup, our third string running back gets in trouble. So he gets kicked, he gets sent home. So now we're down to just Arian and Ben Tate. Arian gets hurt in like the first quarter. So now we're down to Ben Tate. Ben Tate had broken ribs at the time.
Yep.
And so he gets hurt that game. So we have Greg Jones running the ball. But mind you, that first half, you watch that game,
yeah.
we're running the ball at him. We're doing everything that was in the game plan, but then we ran out of bullets.
Man,
and so
yeah.
that was just the type of year that it was. It was very frustrating.
You mentioned the frustration, but it wasn't just a one-year thing because now Travis is very passionate about this too. The fact that the frustration level is that's how Matt Schaub is remembered. And they forget how many good seasons that he had that allowed you guys to have those Super Bowl aspirations.
Of course. A lot of times it's like revisionist history. Like the Texans never had a quarterback. Like, nah, that's not true. He went to two Pro Bowls. He threw for over 4,000 yards. You know, like he had some great years here.
Yeah.
There was he's in the Hall of Fame for throwing for 527 yards in a game against the Redskins where he sits in the pocket and gets blasted, throws the pass to Andre. Like, these things happen.
Yeah.
They really happen. We just didn't have a good defense that year.
People forget that.
But they forget that. But it's a lot of times is what have you done for me lately. But like I said, I'm really happy that he's coming back here, and I'd be ecstatic if he can get a Super Bowl
wouldn't that be great?
On Sunday.
All right. An easy question and a tough question. Best teammate you ever had and worst. And you got to name them both.
The best teammate
best and
I've
worst
had.
Teammate.
I'm gonna have to say Dwayne Brown is my best teammate I ever had because we did some special things on the left side there.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to say with Chris Myers to my right too. So and he's one of my favorites too. And the worst teammate I ever had, I would just say that the worst teammate I ever had didn't last very long. So you don't.
So
when you have a teammate,
you did skirt around. That.
I'll let you off.
Yeah, but hey,
I want names.
Barry thinks he's a strong safety, so he was ready to fight at one point.
Well,
but,
me and Quentin Demps are the same height and weight. Yep. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I don't think you want that.
And that's
problems.
Where the comparison.
I don't think you want them problems.
Well, I'm just saying. Tell of the tape.
There you go.
Remind everybody one more time how they can check out the website and how they can get involved with everything you got going this week.
Yeah, so Thursday night, 6 o'clock p.m. gamblesandblackjack.com. Go online and get your tickets now while there's some available. There's a few available left, so you can go get them, have an opportunity to. If you don't like to play poker, it's a casino night, so there's going to be blackjack, all type of games that you can play. Win prizes and stuff, and like I said, all the money goes to charity,
and a great charity at that. You guys are doing wonderful things.
Yeah. Thank you. And then you can go to wadesmithfoundation.org to follow what we're doing in the community here in Houston and Dallas. And you can follow me at Smitty74 all day on Twitter and Instagram, and keep up with all the things that we got going on.
There you go. Wade Smith, former Texan, great dude, and doing great things here in the Houston community, and a true Texan. So we appreciate you spending some time with us. Thanks very much for joining us.
All right, man.
And have a great week.
Thanks for being here.
Wade Smith, right there on ESPN 97.5. We got a whole lot more to go on the show, approaching the halfway point, but still plenty more as people line up to stop in here on Radio Row, brought to you by Sprint. We appreciate the good folks at Sprint for making all this happen all week long. We'll be back with much more ESPN 97.5.
This is Sprint Week.
Can you hear that?
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joe Blake, Barry Laminack, somewhere, somehow, Nick Shirara is still running around making sure that he gets phone numbers and treats this room like his own. Oh, there he is. As we continue to roll on from Radio Row, brought to you by Sprint, right here on ESPN 97.5. Do I dare say, Barry, now joined by one of the finest families of football and entertainment.
First family of football.
Oh, I thought about going first family, but you know, you get the Lombardis and some of the older people.
Hold on, let me trademark that.
No, yeah, you're welcome.
We can work on a marketing
plan coming
together.
To you.
Ollie Robinson, Pete, Rodney, Pete, joining us right now. Great to have you guys both on the show. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Houston.
Thank you.
We called the weather in for you.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So that's worked out.
It's like Southern California.
Yeah.
Which you have some experience with.
I do.
Absolutely.
I do.
But right off the top, you guys always doing great things in the community and to help others. And you've got some special events coming up this week. Right off the top, please tell everybody listening around our listening area what's going on.
Well, we always feel blessed to be able to have Super Bowl, to have this amazing platform to spread awareness about different causes. But ours is autism. Mm-hmm. We have a son who is now 19, diagnosed at 3. And oftentimes it's very hard to take these young people to public places. We started an autism aquarium tour event. So what that is we shut down the aquarium and we bring autism families in. They get a chance to, you know, get treated, have a great night, have food and all access to the rides and the attractions. And we're doing that at the Downtown Aquarium right around the corner from here.
And a beautiful
tomorrow
aquarium.
Night. Yeah, beautiful
a great
aquarium.
Venue.
We've done it in all across the country, and we are coming to an aquarium near you, as they say, to help families impacted by autism. It's something we do at the Holly Rod Foundation that we know we needed. When we got our diagnosis, we didn't have a whole lot of support, so we want to be there for
other
families.
How do people get involved?
You can go to hollyrod.org. You can be involved. You can obviously you can donate.
Sure.
But you can also volunteer. The thing I say to people, you always have to write a check. If you know a family impacted by autism, maybe go to them and say, what do you need? What can I do for you?
Yeah.
Can I babysit your other child? Or what can I do? So that's the great thing about philanthropy, is that it doesn't always involve writing a check.
Now, I've got to ask you this question, and it may not be a question you want to answer, but you did the Celebrity Apprentice 3. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
No,
I have no idea.
Where are you going with
this? Where could you possibly? What was it like working with? What was the guy? What was the wrestler's name?
Yeah, what was
Goldberg?
Yeah, what was it like working with Goldberg?
Of course, I want to know that. Right after you tell me, what was that experience like? And do you look back at that and go, yeah, that's about what it was.
No, I'm really baffled by it. You know, I have to say, 6-7 years ago, I was on Celebrity Apprentice. I almost won.
Uh-huh.
I lost to Brett Michaels.
Yeah.
He probably cheated.
Maybe.
They're wrestlers. It's all
but
fake.
Every road
he faked it, whatever
storm.
It was.
Well, Brett is actually the rock and roller with
Okay.
I threw you off with Goldberg.
Every road has its thorn.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that guy.
Right.
Wasn't there a Brett Michaels wrestler, too?
It might have been.
Maybe.
I think
yes,
it was.
I believe there
okay,
was.
See, that's what threw me. But
so,
anyways.
Literally, Brett and I were, you know, in the finals, and uh-huh. I outraised him 2-1. So, for me, I won, right? Because
yeah.
I was really there for the – he could have the sash. I'll take the cash, right?
There you go.
And literally, like yeah, but it was interesting. I mean, the then Donald Trump, now our president, was, yeah. you know, a guy who was kind of fascinated with me. He didn't really – he knew who Rodney was, but he didn't really know anything about me or my work. He just couldn't believe what a beast of a fundraiser I was. He liked that.
Yeah.
And so we got along just fine, and it was actually really enjoyed myself. But if you'd have told me then that the guy I was sitting across from in the fake boardroom, you know, yeah. firing people was actually going to be in charge of this country, I would have told you you were crazy. So you never know what happens.
Yeah.
Only in America, as they say. Only in America.
Wow, yeah. Rodney, we've got a fellow Trojan on our lineup, Sean Salisbury.
Yeah.
You guys from quarterback, shall we say, brethren at USC. But you guys both went through the USC program. Are you pleased now with the Rose Bowl and the way SC kind of turned it around a little bit? There was some worry early in the year mm-hmm. with Helton, but it looks like that they've got a good quarterback and they've turned things around.
Very, very pleased. And you're right. You know, early in the season, losing to Alabama and then losing to Stanford, and that brought some of the USC faithful out and
yeah.
were calling for his head a little bit. But if you got to know Clay Helton at all, or you know him at all, this guy is a great human being, first of all, and a great coach, and he really resonated with the players. I mean, it was the players that
yeah.
went to then AD Pat Hayden and said, "This is a guy you got to hire and stay with this guy," and it was proven. You know, it's not easy because you had a quarterback waiting in his wings for 2-3 years, waiting to get his opportunity to start. You know, Cody Kessler goes to the pros,
sure.
he gets the start, and it's not going so well. So you, as a head coach, got to pull that trigger and start a freshman, and that wasn't easy. But he did it, and you know, the rest is history. We've got a guy there now that. He's got all the tools and all the makings of being a fantastic quarterback. I mean, SC after that start finished third in the country. So
yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty amazing.
And that, arguably, they said was the best bowl game. Obviously, Alabama-Clemson
yeah.
turned out pretty good, too. But
right.
that was a heck of a bowl game. And that leads me to my next question. I grew up a Packer fan, but I admired you playing for the Detroit Lions. And obviously...
No, you didn't. You hated him. And
thank you. Thank you.
Didn't
you.
Admire him.
I admired him because he did just enough to keep his team in game. But hopefully the green and
yeah.
gold would find a way to
yeah.
finish the game. But at the same time, I'm interested in your thoughts because back then there was, if it's possible, more physicality, less concentration on injuries, on the long-term well-being of the players involved in the game. You guys obviously took a lot. Are you pleased with where the league has come from the standpoint of CTE, of paying more attention to injuries, but also are you pleased with the fact that it's still, from a rules perspective, a competitive game, or would you change things? Because you played that mm-hmm. position where there's always constant scrutiny about is there too much with the penalty flags and attention to protecting the quarterback?
Well, with the rules situation, I think they're going in the right direction. They're doing what they can to try to protect players. And you know, it's still a contact sport, so there're going to be injuries. But they are going in the right direction with the hits on the quarterback, the hits to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Those things have to be done. And if you start doing it at the highest level, then it trickles down to the high school and Pop Warner level so kids learn how to play differently. Look, back in the 60s and 70s, they were clotheslining people.
Yeah.
And they were doing different things. If you look at those films and how they played back then, if you played in the 90s, like, wow, I don't know if I
say they didn't care how you slid or
no.
if you slid or
no.
if you tried to get out of bounds, you were
going
to take a hit.
You were taking a hit. So it is different. It is different. I probably could have played longer if I was playing today
yeah.
than I did back there. But in terms of, you know, what they're doing for players after football, there's still a lot of work to be done and still a long way to go for the NFL to make up for all of the physical ailments that happen to players while they're playing. Because when you retire, it's almost like you're the forgotten player. There needs to be a lot more done, and there's a lot now. There are more people speaking out about that, the organization speaking out about it. I'm part of a group called the Harvard Players Study, in which we are analyzing and looking at the players' whole body
yeah.
from start to finish.
We got a lot of guys, Keenan Ricardo, Travis Johnson,
yep.
who are on this station and work with us. They are participating as well because they believe
right.
that they have to find a solution or
absolutely.
At least some kind of attention with all the money that this league makes.
Yeah, that's the disconnect, I think. With all the money that's made, there is no reason that each and every player that goes through the NFL doesn't have a lifetime of insurance or whatever they need to take care of their body and any ailments that, they've suffered due to playing football.
And I know you spent a lot of time still watching the game, but the question I have for you for all Texans fans is, you saw what happened with the quarterback position here with Brock Osweiler in the last year. He has a year left on his contract. Yeah. Is that something where, as a quarterback, you say, look, there is still things that he can do to save this situation, to come back strong next year?
I do. If you watched him, you know, and I'm not there every day at practice, but I liked what I saw when he played and filled in for Peyton Manning in Denver.
Yes.
I really did. It was the reason why he got the money. But there's also a reason why Denver didn't go back and sign him.
Yes.
So there's some things that people like and what they don't like. So, but I think after 1 year going to a new situation, he's still a relatively young quarterback. There's an upside to him that can get through this. And plus, with the defense that the Texans have, as long as you manage the game and don't turn it over, which he had a problem doing,
yep,
you got a chance to win every one of them.
Yeah, we joke about the fact that it used to be that being a game manager was a compliment. Now everybody thinks it's such a
yeah.
cut down and a personal
right.
shot. But that back in the day, if you were a game manager and had a good
that
defense, you could win football games.
You absolutely could. I mean, I remember if you're going 18 for 25 for 250 yards, that
right.
was a good day.
No
you
question.
Know, now it's like, oh, man, it's rough.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it wasn't very good.
Well, we appreciate you guys stopping and spending some time with
Thank
us.
You.
Again, one more time before we go to break, give everybody the information. How do they get involved and what's going on?
Well, definitely check out hollyrod.org. You can find out about the Autism Center that we're supporting tomorrow. And also at night we're doing the aquarium event for children and families affected by autism.
Perfect. Fantastic.
Very good.
We appreciate Holly Robinson Pete and Rodney Pete spending some time with us. The first family of football joining us here in Houston,
welcome,
Texas.
Guys.
Again, as always, we want to give a shout out to Sprint for sponsoring us here on Radio Row. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with much more ESPN 97.5.
Can you hear that?
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joe Blank, Barry Laminack somewhere in the building following Nick Sciarra on the world tour of socialization in the George R. Brown Convention Center. Oh, wait a minute. There he is.
What up?
Barry is here.
I was
you can do
up.
It and I can't.
I was catching up.
So I do it and it's bad and you doing what up?
No, I did. That was the Martin what up.
Yours okay.
is, no. I was catching
Damn,
up with
Gina, you got
Cody
me.
Cody Stutes. Me and Cody go back about 10 years.
Yeah, now you go to conflicting
before,
radio stations.
Before either of us were in radio.
Yeah.
We were just fans of radio. That's how we met. We were fans of 1560.
And you did double rods.
Yeah, we did,
there
as a matter of fact. Yeah.
How about that?
Way back in the day.
There's nothing wrong with back in the day,
nope.
All day, every day.
You. Oh, by the way, I'm catching a ton of flack. It was Shawn Michaels that was the wrestler, not Bret Michaels. But you know what? Don't care either way. I don't.
Yeah, you even missed my
wrestling.
Every rose has its thorn when I threw it into her. She got it. You did.
You know I tune you out half the time.
I know.
Yeah.
But that's all right. But I was a Motley Crue fan.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
I was too, but I was a poser. Like, I wasn't really like, I didn't really worship the devil like you.
No, I didn't do any of that. But I wanted, like, every time they came in concert, you wanted to see if Tommy Lee's drum set was going to, like, spin all the way upside down or tour the entire inside of the arena.
I never got, my first concert was, like, Wham or something. I wasn't.
First of all, that doesn't surprise me in the least and says so much more than anything you could ever say to me about Motley Crue.
Don't judge me, Joe Blake.
I'm just
Don't
saying.
You
I'm
judge
not judging
me.
You. It's just facts.
It was Wham and then Ronnie Millsap.
Well. Wow, at least they could wake you up before they go-go.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
I can't. Ronnie Millsap.
Ronnie Millsap.
Yeah.
Loves a rainy night.
No, that's Eddie Rabbit.
Damn it.
Yeah, good try, though.
Ronnie Millsap was blind, though, right?
Yes, I believe so.
All right,
but
I'll,
if he's not, we're really going to be idiots at this point. Yeah, you know, and I was a Crue fan, Motley Crue fan simply because of the fact that their backup singers, self-explanatory, were called the Nasty Habits.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that they're having, I guess one of the parties this week is the Leather and Lace Ball. I'm pretty sure a Motley Crue concert constituted that exact same thing without ever having to pay the price of admission for that. So,
hey, did you have any problems with your shirt? Because I ordered
You mean the
XL.
Fact that they were made by Omar the Tent Maker and the fact that they don't breathe?
Can I tell you, I spent 3 days trying to shrink this shirt, and it has not mattered at all. I thought it would shrink like crazy because it's, I don't know what kind of material. I mean, it's cotton, but it doesn't seem like
overly
a quality.
Yeah. No, well, I was worried, too, if you dried it too much that it was going to become, instead of a black shirt, a charcoal gray, and then become sleeveless.
I've washed and dried this like 5 times already.
It's Kirsten's fault because we were told.
No one told us that the shirts were going to be 5 sizes too big. So I'm washing a shirt for 3 days.
Oh, it's too late because he already just went on a rant.
Yeah. It's all out there now.
Yeah.
The business. All right.
Yeah. Well, he said he dried it 5 times. And it did not, the arms didn't fall off, but it actually got bigger.
And then can I tell you what my dumbass did today?
Oh, I already know, but please tell the listeners at home.
So I'm always late. I'm not a prompt guy.
We
I have a hard time being on time for things.
We know.
And
this.
So I thought, you know what? This is my first Radio Row.
Yes.
I'm not gonna screw this up. I am going to be on time because Get Me is meeting us at the station and giving us all a ride over here. So I was not going to miss getting me. By the way, Michael, fantastic driver. Michael drove me over today.
Well, so you got the big cheese.
That dude, dude is awesome.
He runs the show,
awesome.
Too.
Yeah, so cool, man. But, yeah, so I was like, I'm not going to miss this ride and screw this up because I didn't want to be late because, you know, I don't know. So I leave the house at 9:25 to be down at the station
plenty
by 11. Plenty of time. And I get all the way to the end of the Hardy. And my brother-in-law, Alex Lucio, texted me. He's like, hey, man, did they give you any tickets to anything? And I was like, no, but I got a press credential. Oh, damn it.
Yep.
And I had left my press credential at the house. I had to turn around, drive my dumb ass all the way back to the house, up the Hardy, then come back down again. Needless to say, I was late, but Michael was nice enough to wait on me. Thank God no one else was there. And then he brought me over. And it was smooth, man. I don't know why I haven't used Get Me before.
I was going to say, everybody's all focused on Uber and if Uber's coming back and asking Triple if they're going away.
Don't
Get Me
it.
Is the real deal.
I was telling Michael this. Somebody on Facebook, actually a comedy booker I know, Andrew Youngblood, was talking about, hey, you know, there's this whole thing with Uber going on where everyone's delete Uber, you know, that big drive to delete Uber. But there's no Lyft in town, so they were like, well, what do we do? And I was like, yo, use Get Me. Like, they're a great option if you're wanting to delete Uber. So, yeah, dude, it was smooth. I was like, wow, this is way too easy. So I think I'm going to use Get Me to go to the Big Texas party, get hammered, and get bleep-faced, and then just drive home, have Get Me drive me home that night. So
I'm telling you, it's painless.
And we're doing a show Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to do I think we're doing national.
Is it 8 to 9?
Yeah, 8 to 9. You and I are doing from the party.
I can't wait to do drunk radio. It should be interesting.
I did it yesterday, so I can do it today, too. It's like I'm getting used to it.
Were you drunk?
It's my new thing. No, not at all. Yeah.
So you're not going to get drunk with me, and we're not going to do drunk radio together?
Thursday or Friday? Oh, Thursday night.
At the Big Texas party.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to. That would go over like a fart in church with the powers that be if I went half Harry Carey, half.
We'll just do it. We have to do the whole show in nothing but accents. We don't want anyone to know our real voice. I'm down for that.
We could definitely try and do that. Will Polacek tries to do that every day when he's not snacking.
I haven't done my Morgan Freeman yet live on air.
I'm sure it's just as good as Matthew McConaughey.
It's terrible. It's terrible. But drunk, it may be even better. And by better, I mean horrible.
That'll be
fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah, because we've got two big parties coming up.
Yep.
The Big Texas Party Thursday night, which you can go to bigtexasparty.com. And still find out how you can get tickets to what's going to be a great event. Like Barry said, we're going to be broadcasting live.
In the house.
Yeah, and then we've got another event at the boss's palatial crib on Friday night. So
not open to the public.
No, not open to the public, but open bar. So you guys are all good. So you guys are going to be set and ready to go.
Okay, now don't say it too loud because the Peets are still over there your right. Favorite guest so far? Go.
Today or all for the entire week?
Today. I don't care about yesterday. I wasn't here. I don't know who you guys had.
Well, we had Rudy from the movie Rudy.
Did you?
Yeah, Rudy.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, Rudy Rudiger. We had Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz yesterday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, a couple of them.
So today, favorite guest.
Today, favorite guest so far.
Yep.
Boy, I don't. I mean, first of all, your guy.
Huh?
I thought Kel was
Kel,
Kel was,
Kel
very
was
cool,
good. Kel
but
was fun.
I really enjoy the Peets because their whole life outside of when Rodney played and when she acted is now dedicated to a cause that's near and dear to their hearts with their child. So I thought it was cool.
Just between you and me, did you used to think she's hot?
She still is.
She's still got her fastball.
Yeah,
she definitely does.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, Rodney went from quarterback to maybe a fullback now, but. But definitely, he's achieved for a lifetime with Holly Robinson Peete. So, who's yours?
Kel.
Okay, yeah. All right. Kel was great.
Yep.
And keeps it real and a very, very good dude. Which a lot of times when the microphone's on, they're good dudes. When it goes off, they're out of here. Yeah, definitely. So far, great guests. More to come. We're having a great time. Radio Row brought to you by Sprint right here on ESPN 97.5.
Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.